flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Washington, D.C. Acknowledge me.
Chris Russell on the Team 980.
I'm not trying to be a jerk. All right, off and running on a Tuesday in the nation's capital and beyond, always live and free on the Odyssey app. Good to be with you. 2 minutes of change after the hour, after the Kevin Sheehan, Coach Sheehan experience.
Coach.
We welcome in the DOC for the first of many off-season soirees. Doctor, how are you?
Good. Good to be able to get into a different type of offseason, much different than ours in the past, and I'm looking forward to this one.
No doubt. And we welcome AMAC across.
Oh, yeah.
On the way. Now,
good man.
Now, I don't think AMAC, unless I'm wrong, we have worked together. I've heard you, I've met you, I've talked to you, but I don't think we've ever worked actually on the same show. But you and Doc work together a lot because I hear the banter between you two guys. And it sounds a little similar to the stuff that I have to deal
with, he's a good man,
quite
though.
Honestly, on Tuesdays.
Yeah, good man.
Absolutely.
And much like you, he doesn't break. I tried to break him.
Yes.
He's unflappable.
I hear how kind of stoic and how strong and how tough-minded
I couldn't break him.
He is.
He's good.
I mean, no matter what Doc tries to do to bring you down to your knees, to chop you
couldn't
down to your
him.
Knees, you have stayed strong. So kudos to you.
Yeah, I think it's because the last time the New York Giants have won a Super Bowl, I was like in diapers. So you have to have a tough-minded, you know.
I don't think it's been that long, AMAC.
2011?
Yeah.
You weren't in diapers in 2011? It was 13 years ago, brother.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, you were maybe
an exaggeration, but it feels like
he had training wheels on his bike. His bicycle had training wheels.
Yeah, I hear you. You know, of course, as we now know, the sad reality is it's been a long time and will continue to be a long time for the Commanders, the Redskins, the Washington football team, the Burgundy and Gold. To have been in a Super Bowl and certainly to win it. Unfortunately, coming up not just short on Sunday, way short. Way short is just a way to describe a blowout that I think was a more competitive game than a lot of people, certainly than the Philadelphia side, a lot in the national media are painting it out to be. I think we have the proper perspective here. They were not good enough to win that game. They were not in any way, shape, the better team. there was clear delineation in that. But Doc, I don't know if it matters. I didn't get to hear your post game show because I was at Lincoln Financial Field.
A 1-point loss, okay. We still lose.
All right, that's what I figured. That's what I figured.
I'd rather lose
say.
By 100,
yeah,
than one. It don't matter.
But
we didn't win.
It doesn't. Does it make you more angry that they
not
lost by 32?
Not at all.
Okay.
Because here's what you have to look at. You now know to get where you want to go, you got to go through this bully. And you got to go through them 3 times. We got to beat all our people 3 times.
Mm-hmm.
Giants, Cowboys, or Eagles. What I'm happy about is that the gate to the Super Bowl is back in the East. To me, that's where it ought to be. We're either playing Giants, Cowboys, or Eagles. You play them 3 times to get to the promised land. And if you're not built for that, you're never going. So that gives you your blueprint. So there'll be a million shows talking all this garbage all offseason. If you can't help me defeat Goliath, then you're just all air.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going anywhere. And you can't stop them. They steamrolled you, ran over you. What you going to do about it? Period.
How big do you think, this is something that some people have mentioned, but not enough, was the bigger factor if you had to choose one between one or the other? And I'm not saying the game ultimately came down to this, but mm-hmm. it's just a sports talk radio-y type question. Home field advantage for the Eagles and experience for the Eagles. Both mm-hmm. were heavily in their favor, right? Mm-hmm. Do you think one played a major factor on Sunday, or do you think that the Eagles, if they played the way they did, would have won in Guam?
They could have beat
Brazil,
them in L.A.,
Landover,
anywhere. They anywhere in the world.
So you don't think home field advantage was a huge deal? I don't
mean
either.
Zero.
I don't
when
either.
You're the bigger, badder, bully, it don't matter where you're at.
See, I'm glad to hear you say that because, you know, sometimes you and I think differently. Sometimes we think alike, right? But I think we're right on the same page with this. There are people that thought they were intimidated. They weren't intimidated.
Who's your source?
Again, people, you know I pick up a lot of things that people say, and I just kind of, you know.
Well, you're sensitive. You're sensitive.
Well, I am.
I'm not.
But here's the thing. It's always interesting to hear how people process things, right?
And it depends.
If you told me home field advantage was a huge factor, I would go, man, I was there. It was loud. It was proud. It was really cool, the Rocky theme that they do, and they didn't do it just.
You know how many times
for the
they
NFC
lost there?
Right. Well, and won.
No,
they
but
won
no,
there.
No. If it were all that defeated.
Oh, the Eagles. You
the
mean.
Eagles.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Yeah. Well, that's. But I will say this: I do think the experience, and this is why I asked the question. Mm-hmm. I do think the experience of being in that spot, being in that moment. Home, road, Guam, Brazil, wherever, I do think that did count a little bit. I do think that factored into how the Eagles performed in that game, played in that game versus how the Commanders did.
Here's where
Is that poppycock or not?
When you can run the ball, mm-hmm. you can run it on sand, ice, or land. When you can stop the opponent from running, you can stop them on land, ice, or
that's fair.
We don't run the ball worth a damn.
Yeah.
And we don't stop people from running the ball worth a damn.
That's fair.
So that's why you're home. That's why you got a remote in your hand, and they'll be in the game.
So for you, experience, never mind home field, experience didn't even matter. It was just simply a matter of domination at the line of scrimmage.
Weight room.
Yeah.
This is all about they've got a guy that some pro team gave up on. Won't mention the name.
Mm-hmm.
The crazy part is that somebody with an IQ of Lassie gave.
Wait, are you talking about Saquon?
I don't remember what team he was on before, but. Oh. Somebody actually let the MVP of the league mm-hmm. go to a team with the best offensive line in the league
mm.
that also happens to have one or two of the best wide receivers in the league. And some kind of way this physical stew ended up in Philadelphia. And so it was just a matter of time. Oh, and did I mention their sparring partner in practice is the most physical defensive line in the game.
Mm-hmm.
So it reminds me of the old days when – the Hogs were sparring. They're going up against Dex and Charles and Whirl and Butts. It's who you're sparring with that matters. If you win every day in practice, it's not a good team. It's supposed to be fights and stalemates. Now you know you got something that might be closer to a prison break. That's what you want. You got to have chaos in practice. If somebody's kicking your ass every snap, you'll end up getting your ass kicked in the game. That's what the Eagles have. Perfect combination of right on the edge, borderline balance insanity.
And even though we don't get to see their practices, no, their offensive strength. Line and defensive line is so good.
Just figure it out.
Right.
Can you imagine?
Right.
I remember seeing Russ and Wirl go at it. It was like, it was unbelievable. You
so
wanted
you
to stop
knew
to see
based
it.
On what you were seeing in practice when those guys would collide worlds, right?
Unbelievable.
You knew that iron sharpens iron, right?
It's the only way to get it done.
Okay. So what you're basically telling me is the number one thing that this team needs here in this offseason, and I don't think you're wrong in any way, shape. Like, people are talking about wide receiver, tight end.
But see, you do that. You want public acceptance. I don't give a damn.
Well, it's not about public. It's
no,
just
because
what
I understand
what
that
I
the
hear.
Audience doesn't know either.
Right. It's just
so
what
why,
I hear.
I'm not playing to any audience other than the few people sprinkled on this earth that have actually been inside the wall that understand what I'm talking about. And when I know that Charles Mann is going against George Stark 100 miles an hour, and George has the best feet in the game, hands, he's an athletic freak, I'm watching this going, oh, my God. When you're seeing Butts is three. I mean, back in the day, he was the biggest guy in the league, right? And Mayday. It's like two. You're going, we're just oohing and aahing going, oh, my God. When you're looking, it looks like train wrecks. That's happening in practice. So that's why those guys, when we go in a game, we feel bad for the opponent because we know how they train in the arena. I always say your sparring partner, that's the dude like Rich Mallott to me, Coleman, those guys, they're your sparring partners. So if you feel like you're kicking his ass every play, we'll end up getting our ass kicked in the game. It's stalemates, you got to lose. It's got to be back and forth, or we're mediocre. That's the whole gist of it. The Eagles right now, we lose every arm wrestling contest. You're not built to beat them yet. So you got to get a strategy that will give you the ability to get in the box and kick their ass at the line of scrimmage. And right now, you ain't got a shot.
Let me ask you this. Would you give me that it's really hard to build what the Philadelphia Eagles and the Kansas City Chiefs, for that matter, have built on both the offensive line and defensive line?
It's
would you give me it's
you
really hard?
It's hard if you don't believe in the philosophy. Mm-hmm. Thank goodness our people do.
Well, that was the next question.
Yeah.
Do you believe that 100%, like if you had to shoot truth serum right into his veins, that Adam Peters would wake up from whatever injection you gave him and spit out offensive line, defensive line as his first two things?
Well, first of all, now Kingsbury is going to encourage him to. Because now Kingsbury, see, it's all about Kingsbury. He's calling plays. But you got to have the equipment to call him with. Because as good as JD5 is, and he is better than good, he's our only chance. Because he's our only freak. Every team has three that's playing during this time of the year. We're rolling out with one. You got to have three. So where are the other two? Now, you pay. See, your payroll doesn't match your production. That's when you know your team's going the wrong direction. You got all these people creaming about the bag. Well, you gave them the bag, and guess what they gave you? Very little.
They gave you a floppy punching bag.
I don't know
bag.
What the hell they gave you, but I know this. Who you pay determines your football IQ. You better be right. So now you got this kid right now. You run the clocks on now. Let this money thing run out when you got to pay him. Then you go back to start. You're in this precious time window now where you better calculate and you better get it right. Style points does not matter because the bullies in your division, you got to beat them three times to get to where you want to go. You can be all cute and fancy as you want to. Like Kingsbury a lot, but it ain't my cup of tea until we can go mano a mano, and he don't have the tools to do it because you need a back. Now, I won't judge him until he has a back. Now, once he gets the back, then I'm going to see what he does with the back. Then I can evaluate him. I can't evaluate him now. He don't have a tool. And he's got to like the tool, not me. It's his team. Because I like Rodriguez. He obviously doesn't. So I'm not going to coach. I'm not a coach. That's Sheehan. I'm going to sit back and watch him. But I'm watching his results, and I know now he could not control pace and play. He was dictated to by the defense. And if he didn't have Houdini, well, we wouldn't even have been in it in the first place.
And you're not talking just Sunday. You're talking about overall.
Overall. Sunday's they're better than most teams, mm-hmm. but the bully happens to be in your division.
So the bully, I think we would all agree,
mm-hmm.
even before Sunday, was built for everlasting success. Now, sometimes, even when you're built for everlasting success, you have a terrible end of the year like they did a year ago, right? And
they got some internal issues now.
Yeah. Well, they still do, but I mean, mm-hmm. remember last year they folded like a cheap suit.
They got internal issues.
Right. Yeah. So you can build it the right way, mm-hmm. as I believe Howie Roseman has. And by the way, I'll just point out, a couple of ex-Redskins scouts and executives that are high up on that hierarchy. My guy, Jeff Scott. You remember Jeff, right? I see him every time we, play. He's Howie's top assistant, I think. He's like the senior vice president of player personnel. He was here for a long time. Matt Holland, who is a scout here, is a pro scout for the Eagles as well, right? So there's some Washington blood under Howie Roseman. I think we would all agree that Howie Roseman...
That's indicative of our past.
Yeah, yeah.
We lose top talent.
Yep. But I think Howie Roseman has done everything reasonably that you can, I think, to build a super strong team in all three phases, in all units, on all levels. Now, you can pick and say, wow, we don't have enough here, we don't have enough here. That's salary cap, partly that's injury, partly that's attrition, partly that's...
You avoided one of the worst coaching runs in the history of the game, and you made it all the way to the championship game. Mm-hmm. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so... But I guess it's interesting, like you say, if you inject Adam Peters with truth serum, right, and he wakes up and if he comes out spitting offensive line and defensive line, I hope that is the case this offseason. We have a lot to talk about this offseason. I hope his number one overwhelming philosophy isn't pretty boys. Wide receivers, mm-hmm. pass-catching tight ends, mm-hmm. Fantasy studs. Listen, you need some of that. You might need to replace De'Ami Brown. I think you're going to need to replace De'Ami Brown. You might need to replace Zach Ertz. We'll see. I hope that Adam Peters takes on the Howie Roseman philosophy, which is aggressive, which Howie has always been, and limited sample size. I think Adam Peters... semi-aggressive last offseason, not fully aggressive. I want him to be aggressive, not reckless, aggressive. But I also want him to believe in, again, when you wake up from whatever trance you're in, truth serum trance, you come out thinking, if I don't improve this offensive and this defensive line, I'm bleeped. If I don't significantly improve it, not moderately improve it, not minimally improve it. If I don't significantly improve it and change it and make it better on both sides, I'm bleeped, especially if I've got to go against them. That being said, this is Sports Talk Radio. I have another question for you about the offensive and defensive line that I want to explore with you after this. So here's what we're talking about, guys, right out of the chute. Do you think home field advantage and or experience for the Eagles mattered more, one or the other? Do you think it mattered at all? Or do you think they would have won that football game on the North Pole and it didn't matter at all? That's number one. Number two, Adam Peters' top priority. Do we all agree that it should be big time bolstering the offensive and defensive lines? Or is it some other priority outside of that? And when we come back, I have a question for Doc that Doc's not going to want to hear, that Doc's not going to like, but I'm going to ask it anyway. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980 on the Team 980. And we're always live and free on the Odyssey app.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All righty, everybody. We welcome you back. Good to have you with us right here. Just approaching 125. The DOC is in the house until 4 o'clock. We'll get to your calls at 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. So we open up the show talking about, as we look back on the NFC Championship game and all that went wrong, because a lot went wrong, was experience or lack thereof on behalf of Washington, experience and certainly the favor of Philadelphia, a bigger factor, or was home field advantage a bigger factor? And I think you can argue that neither was, but if I had to lean towards one, and it's more than a lean, it's experience. Now, there's many other reasons why. Doc, I would just say this. Next year, even though they won 12 games, and this was the weird part, right? You win 12 games, you're a six seed, right? Because of a super-duper year for teams in the NFC North, and it literally took Green Bay folding like a cheap suit down the stretch, even before the playoffs, in their last two regular season games, for you to get the six seed, even though they had 12 wins.
Mm-hmm.
If they can get home field advantage, now they have the experience. Now they have the experience all together, every one of them. Now, not everyone that's going to be on the roster next year obviously played in this game. We all understand that. But by and large, most players now have at least been in that environment, that hostile environment, not once, not twice, but three times. But really, now you've been in the conference championship stage and you see, okay, how a real team operates, not a bunch of pretty boys like the Detroit Lions, okay? That being said, we also discussed how important offensive and defensive line is. And again, I think both of us are in lockstep and say, man, if you don't fix that, if you don't significantly improve that, you're going to be maybe lucky to be back in this position again next year. Tougher schedule. Who knows about injuries, so on and so forth. Teams are out to get you now. You're not the cute story. All that. But here's the question I wanted to ask you. And we can ask the audience at 301-230-0980. If you had to choose one or the other, the offensive line or the defensive line, you can only strongly improve one or the other. And I'm not asking as much for specifics just yet.
Well, I'll save you the chase. It's offense because I have to protect the most valuable player on my team. My asset's a quarterback. So I'll save you time. I have to. JD5 is the only reason we're in this position.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I need to score points to win. So it's going to always be offense. That's why I go, that's my Fab Five. I have to make sure that's in sync. They showed you versatility because even though they had injuries and maybe your best lineman was out, you could still compete. I'm very pleased with what I saw up front. You broke in a young kid out of TCU, out of position, and yet he survived. So I'm really pleased with what I saw. They're not the problem. The problem was you don't have a bona fide running attack that can give them an edge and supplement them. That's your fault. You got to get people to respect you on the ground. And you have the ability, with you got too many good blocking tight ends, and not to be able to have been better on the ground. That's your issue.
But is that a running back thing, or is that an offensive line thing? Or is that a play calling
thing? It's all above. You got to trust it. You got to want to do it.
I think it's somewhat of a running back thing, but I also think it's an offensive line thing. I mean, I love Brandon Coleman.
Look
great,
at Saquon.
Great young man.
Is it their line or is it Saquon?
Yeah. Well,
Saquon did this with the Giants, too.
Yeah, I think
it's. Not act like Saquon hadn't done this before.
I think it's a tag team champion of the world type thing, right?
Yeah. Well,
I mean, they've got a great offensive line and they've got one of the top two or three running backs in the National Football
Could
League.
Could be, but to me, it's about when I call our guy an artist, that's because he has a creative mind.
Mm-hmm.
I want my play caller to be a bully. I'm not trying to get points.
Yeah.
I don't give a damn what you think how I look. I'm trying to bloody your nose. If you can't stop the gut, that's all I'm going to run.
Do you see a lot of bullies on it on our offensive line?
Yeah, you got to be put in a position.
Yeah. See, I don't know if I would describe,
when Cosme's
even
out,
as good as Cosme is, be honest when he's right.
Badass?
I think they are. Bullies?
Yeah.
I don't know. And maybe I have a wrong impression of bully.
No, you don't. It's just the coordinator. That may not be his forte.
Mm-hmm.
See, some offensive coordinators are insulted.
Mm-hmm.
By the idea that they're bullies. Because they're artists. I'm not looking for an artist.
Yeah.
I don't want style points. I want time of possession and touchdowns.
Okay. Let's explore this more after the trending alert here at the bottom of the hour. We will get to your calls. I see y'all. All the canines are coming out to complain about me and to pay homage to Doc, which is fine. You can do whatever you want to do. We'll get to Bones. We'll get to Jonesy. We'll get to others at 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. First, AMAC, let's do the trending alert, and then we will come back and take all of those calls. All right, we mentioned Sam Cosme. He is having ACL surgery this afternoon, so we wish him the very best. Timeline, of course, unknown, but may not be ready for the start of the year, which could cause even more shuffling on that offensive line. We'll continue to talk about that. Certainly some issues that they have to address and fix. How many is the question? Adam Peters, Dan Quinn meeting with the media yesterday. Nothing earth-shattering by any means. However, Adam Peters did not want to speculate as to whether Cliff Kingsbury would be leaving the organization, only that his time is coming. So we will see where that leads. The New Orleans Saints, the only head coaching vacancy left, they traveled to Philadelphia last night to meet with Kellen Moore, the Eagles offensive coordinator, in person. Now, they can't hire him until 2 weeks from yesterday if they choose to hire him, so that theoretically does open the door for Kingsbury, who is available now that the Commanders have been eliminated. Of course, Super Bowl 59 set, Eagles and the Kansas City Chiefs looking for three in a row in 12 days in New Orleans. Meanwhile, Jimmy Butler, yeah, he's been a pain in the ass. He has walked out of practice for the Miami Heat, upset about not being in the starting lineup, and suspended for a third time. A third time in the last month by the Miami Heat, Eric Spoelstra and Pat Riley. The Wizards taking one on the chin last night. Final score not as close, or I should say closer, than the game allowed. They were absolutely destroyed in Dallas. The Caps, just the opposite. They celebrate Logan Thompson's contract extension yesterday. Tonight, hopefully a celebration in Calgary. You can hear that game on 106.7 The Fan, the Odyssey app, the Caps 33-11-5, Calgary 24-17-7, and that's what's trending. A house, making a house call. AMAC on the other side of the glass, be nice to him. 301-230-0980. I am merely the rooster, Chris Russell.
Yeah.
Cock-a-doodle-doo to you. As we hit the first Tuesday of the offseason and we're asking a bunch of questions. Now, Doc, you answered it exactly the way I expected, offensive line. I mean, that, you know, of course, mm-hmm. that's nearer and dearer to your heart. If they just said, no.
No, correction. It protects the crown jewel.
That's fair.
Okay.
But it's also nearer and dearer to your heart.
But it protects the crown jewel.
That is fair.
You want to play this without JD5?
No.
Okay, thank you.
Now, I mean, you could bolster the offensive line. And he could still get hurt, obviously. But, yes, to your point, I mean, listen, there were times where my heart was in my throat this year because I'm just envisioning this franchise's luck and bad luck, quite honestly. And this year was kind of just the opposite. They had a lot of good luck for many reasons. There were several times where I was like, oh God. Please don't have your legs snap. Oh God. Like even in Detroit last week, right in front of me, Doc, granted, I was way up high, But right in front of me, he gets pushed into like the TV mobile truck thing, right?
The will.
So anyway, yes, I understand that. If Adam Peters said, and he'll never say this publicly, but if his actions demonstrate, let's say in free agency, and it's way too early to look at the free agent class, but I'm just going to ask you generically, if they invest and reinvest in the defensive line first and primarily, however you count that, whether it's dollars, whether it's body count, whether it's moves, whatever it might be, if that's how it appears in the first, let's say, week of free agency, the new league year, and that could include trading, you know, moving on from guys here, whatever. If that's the plan of action, would that be disappointing to you if there's little action to improve the offensive line in, say, the first week or so of free agency, and there's obvious action to improve the defensive line or to change the recipe on the defensive line?
Whatever the front office decides to do, I have nothing to do with that. I support them 100%. They were able to turn water into wine with this group they inherited. They'll never be able to do a better job than they just did.
Mm-hmm.
What they just did was short of a miracle.
Mm-hmm.
So now there's nothing they can – I mean, no. I trust in them. They know it better than I could ever know it in a million years, and they'll do the right thing based on the circumstance. They've got cash. They've got intel. Now once they determine who they're able to retain, because this year's staff may be a little different, you may pick up more expertise or you may not, but you got to see what they're working with. I mean, they picked up some people. Obviously, they had the right combination. So let's hope they get lucky again.
But they didn't have the right combination in every area, right? They had enough of the right combination. But was it the right combination? And the reason why I ask that is we've already kind of discussed some of the offensive line issues, right? And if you think that the offensive line needs a dramatic improvement, a significant improvement, a moderate improvement.
No, I'm saying this.
You know, everybody's levels of it, expectation.
You
want.
You had a guard taken out of TCU to mm-hmm. end up playing left tackle for you.
But he was a left tackle plenty in college. It's not like he was –
but I'm just saying that's not how you draw it up. That was not the preferred. He exceeded expectations. You never know till you see it because he's a hell of an athlete. People turn their nose down. TCU. They didn't realize the kid been in the national championship game.
Mm-hmm.
Kid's an athlete, athletic freak. You put him out there, you were scared to death. He showed up and showed out. You got more out of this group than you kind of expected. They got the job done way beyond what we thought. What we didn't anticipate was that the running game
mm-hmm.
would be off as much as it was. To me, I thought we'd get much more production out of the backs than we actually did.
Okay.
So that's where I'm going, wait a minute. I know Eckler's a bad man.
Yeah.
And I knew this dude is a freak. He got hurt. That kind of sets you back a little bit. But if you think the 8-car matched up to expectations, then you had low expectations. I had higher expectations than them.
I
think Rodriguez is a freak, but they don't seem to like something about him because he didn't play that much.
I understand. Yeah.
So, I like the backfield. Yeah. I love the backs coach. I think they have another head coach coaching the running backs.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, I don't handle their business. They're capable of handling it, but I need to see some results.
Mm-hmm.
I need better results. That's not going to cut it next year. Because now you hunt it.
I agree with you. But I wonder how much of that, again, is on the offensive line versus what they don't have in the backfield. And both probably need improvement. I would say both.
You have a mobile quarterback who's a threat, and you still can't build a running game?
Well, but that's the other thing. Did the mobile quarterback who's a threat... Yes, to your point, frustrating that you couldn't build a consistent running game off of that, especially down the stretch, no doubt.
Right.
I mean, think about it. They ran the ball really well against Tennessee, which started the winning streak,
mm-hmm.
really well against Detroit, which ended the games that they won this year, and in between all of that, again, to end out the year, the winning streak, whatever, they did not run the ball well at all.
Right.
But I guess my going back to my point is everything rooted and based off of the offensive line and the deficiencies that I think are there, because by Jaden being what he is and being so elusive and mobile and a threat, did that yield better results than the actual proof in the pudding?
Yes, I'm with you.
I see where you're coming from. I'm with what you're saying.
Yeah. He scares the hell out of everybody.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm going, I need better results. Because one of the reasons Saquon, he's great even without him. But his quarterback, you mess around and let him go, he kills you too.
Well, if Jalen Hurts is on like Jalen he was
Hurts
on Sunday,
he is a monster.
Yeah, he is capable of destroying you.
But Saquon, so that's what I mean. We don't have the Saquon element.
No.
So you don't get the benefit.
Well, we don't have the Saquon element. We don't have the Landon Dickerson element. We don't have who's the right tackle?
All-Pro from Texas.
Jordan Mailata is the left tackle. I don't even know if we have the right guard. Well, we do have the right guard. Yeah. I mean, Mekhi Becton was pretty good, but I mean, it's easier to be good inside and surrounded by all the.
Well, when we took Trent inside, then the Becton deal is give me a tackle that was a turnstile, and then put him inside. Now we protect him. Now he's a phone booth.
Yeah.
And he steamrolled people. Yeah. That's what we got. We put Scott inside.
Did you like the move to? I
loved it.
Yeah, to start Scott on Sunday. Because a lot of people were speculating throughout the week, and I don't know if it was because they were told something that they might move Wiley inside. And I said
to keep you thinking.
Yeah.
Philadelphia. Things you hear again. Pay attention to everything. You end up with a headache all week. They throw things out to send the opponent into chewing up his thinking time. Mm. So if I can waste some of your practice time, anybody with a football IQ knows, who the hell is she going to put there that's bigger? This Scott is a freak.
Yeah.
They put him in the phone booth. He's the only guy big and strong enough to clash with that gorilla, and that's what they did.
Mm.
And that's the only option they had. Because otherwise, that boy runs right through anybody else you have.
Yeah.
He's perfect for the guard.
I mean, he did get penetration
He'll get that against damn near anybody.
Right, exactly.
But if you put somebody other than Scott there, the game would have been over in the first quarter.
All right, 301-230-0980. Let's grab a call here before we go too far. We're asking a bunch of different questions, but all centered basically around winning the game at the line of scrimmage and how to improve this team moving forward now that we are moving forward into officially 2025, or at least the 2025 regular season and offseason. Let's get to Bones in the leadoff spot. What's up, Bones? How are you?
Hey, what's going on, Rooster?
Okay,
what's
nice.
Up, my main man, Doc Walker? Shout out to Max. Hey, man.
Max is actually not with us today. AMAC is.
AMAC
will be back tomorrow, but AMAC today, Max tomorrow, okay. Max yesterday.
All right. Hey, but check this out, man. You know, we won 12 games, man, because, you know, we had Jaden Daniels, man, and you know, a lot of people on the team participated, right? But, man, when you get to the point, you know, we got to go to Philadelphia and play for, the NFC championship, man. You know, you really got to want it, man. You know, and I'm saying this, man, from the bottom of my heart, man. To me, it appears that a lot of players on our team, you know what I'm saying, didn't step their game up like they should have, man. You know, and for real, they're not listening to you, Doc. We need a running back, man. We needed a running back, man, from day one, man. We definitely needed a running back. I don't know what y'all see in B-Rob, but B-Rob runs with his head down, man, straight into the back of the lineman, man. That's all I've been seeing the whole season, man. We need a running back, man, and we need some dogs. Because next season, man, I'm trying to go to the Super Bowl. Simple as that, man. You know, and I'm in my feelings about this whole situation. I'm very emotional about it because it was right there. We finally got us a quarterback, man. We need these players, man, that's around him to step their game up and let's play. I'm not for this bullying stuff because that's what happened. We got bullied up in Philly, man, you know, at the NFC Championship game. When the last time the Burgundy Gold made it to the NFC Championship game, we did not get bullied. We was bullying. Thanks for taking my call, man. Peace.
All right, Bones. Strong start to the show on the phones. 301-230-0980. 301-230-0980. Listen, I want to be clear. Even though I'm focused on the offensive and defensive line, I'm totally with you that between Brian Robinson's inability to stay healthy, which a lot of backs get nicked up, banged up, what have you, but it is an issue, between some fumbling issues later in the year, between his lack of burst explosiveness a lot of the times, and right now between the offensive line not being dominant and mauling and bad at, and just completely, you know, basically what you want. There is no doubt that I think they will be in the running back market. Now, whether that's the free agency market or the trap market, I would likely think it's more the draft than free agency, because there is no Saquon Barkley. There is no Derrick Henry this year, but they definitely need an upgrade there. There is no doubt about that. All right, AMAC, let's go to the break, and then we'll grab more calls on the other side. 301-230-0980 on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, along with the DOC, good to have you with us. Right back to the call so we can squeeze in at least one here before the break. Let's get to Jonesy in D.C. What's up, Jonesy? How are you?
Rooster, what's going on, man?
Jonesy, what's shaking?
Hey, keep up the K-9 in the house. The sun is shining. Bro, it was cloudy out yesterday. Now it's shining. Got to keep up the K-9 in there. Look, check this out, man. I'm not tripping about no referees, you know.
We lost you there, Jonesy. Man. I don't know what happened there. Your phone went out there. Is he back? Nope, I think we lost him. All right, let's get to Andre in Alexandria before the top of the hour here. What's up, Andre?
Hey, Rooster and Doc.
Andre,
oh, man,
what's going on?
I finally got through.
Yes, sir.
There's three things I want to say. I'm going to keep it quick because I know y'all busy.
Sure.
The first thing I want to say is the game is won or lost on the O-line and D-line, and we weak at both. So everybody knows that. I know Doc knows that. And I agree with the other caller, the previous caller, who was screaming, you know, a little bit emotional about B-Rob. I noticed the same thing. And the last thing I want to say is chin is soft. He avoids contact. I've been watching him all year. He got too much size. I want Doc or somebody introduce him to the weight room because he shy away from contact, and he got all that size. He lost me. He got to toughen up.
Doc, did you get the sense that Jeremy Chinn was soft? I know he missed a big tackle on Sunday on the Barkley touchdown.
I'm talking about the whole season.
I thought he was terrible tackling and afraid of contact or shying away from contact weeks one and two. I thought starting with that Cincinnati Monday night game, he was a hit stick for a lot of the year. I'm not saying
he's inconsistent. I think caller's on point about being inconsistent. Tacklers have to tackle. When you're playing Saquon Barkley, that's not the week you can come up short. That's just not the week. Your emphasis is that this dude is the guy. Even if you get run over, hold on. But the perfect no-hitters, that was not the week to have those.
All right, thank you, Andre. Appreciate the phone call. Thank you. 157 on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. We'll get to D.C. We'll get to others. We'll get to Lou. We'll get to everybody that wants to chime in at 301-230-0980. Coming up also, Doc, there was something that was missing last night, and it made me very happy. And it's probably not going to make a lot of other people happy, but it made me happy.
I'm interested in this.
Something that my son said on the phone the other morning.
Now we're going Burgundy and Gold.
Plus, I have a Terry McLaurin story coming up all in the next hour or so, right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.